Hospital admissions in South Africa are rising steeply as a more infectious variant of coronavirus continues to spread. Live from London, this is a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Africa's most industrialized economy has passed the milestone of more than 1 million cumulative COVID-19 cases. There are also concerns that hospitals are running out of beds and oxygen. The BBC's Nomsa Maseko in Johannesburg has the latest.
The Health Minister of South Africa, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, on Sunday night made the announcement that South Africa had reached that green milestone. There are two provinces which have already reached capacity in both private and government hospitals, and those provinces are the Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. They're saying that in some hospitals, it is as much as 140% in capacity. There are also reports, though, that some hospitals are also reluctant to admit patients who need oxygen, and they've had to try and transfer patients to other provinces. But it's not just COVID cases. Because it's the holiday period, South Africa is also dealing with trauma cases.
So a real strain on South Africa's healthcare system. There's a variant of the coronavirus that is spreading more quickly. And so the UK and several other countries have banned travel to and from South Africa. How much of a concern is this for the government?
Well, this is a huge concern. The government and other sectors will tell you that the economic argument outweighs all the others, which is why the hard lockdown that South Africa experienced earlier this year has been loosened. There are people who work in one province, but their homes are in another province. For example, people who are from the Eastern Cape province, but work in the Western Cape. All those people have gone to the Eastern Cape at home, and they will be back early January. And that is where South Africa is expecting the peak of infections to show. There's a wide expectation that the president will make an announcement reintroducing a hard lockdown to restrict the movement of people to try and prevent the virus from spreading any further.
The BBC's Nomsa Maseko, thanks.
Thank you.
While the world has been struggling to control the pandemic, millions of people have also had to cope with the impact of extreme weather. The British charity group Christian Aid has detailed 10 extreme events this year, which have caused thousands of deaths and huge financial losses. Here's Matt McGraw.
In China, long-term flooding caused over $30 billion worth of damage between June and October this year. Floods also caused major problems in India, with around 2,000 deaths and $10 billion in financial losses. Christian Aid says that climate change is a common factor in all these events, which will continue to grow in scale in the years ahead. Despite the threat posed by rising temperatures, experts believe there are some guarded grounds for optimism in 2021. China has set out a long-term goal to limit carbon emissions, and US President-elect Joe Biden has signalled that climate change will be a key policy for his administration.
Well, it's the final trading week of 2020 and investors are heaving a big sigh of relief. This comes after President Trump ended a political standoff and signed the pandemic relief bill, averting another US government shutdown and allowing much-needed aid money to be released into the economy. 10-year Treasury yields rose while S&P futures are pointing to a higher open, while Asian markets also closed higher across the board. A notable exception, however, was China's biggest technology company, Alibaba. Its shares fell by more than 7% in Hong Kong trade after the vice governor of China's central bank accused Alibaba's payments arm Ant Financial of regulatory failings. Last week, Beijing also warned it would be launching an antitrust investigation into the firm founded by billionaire Jack Ma. Sean Rain is the managing director at China Market Research Group in Shanghai, and he explains the source of Alibaba's troubles.
Well, Jack Ma is one of the world's greatest innovators, but he has run into some problems because his company has gotten so powerful. Alibaba and its sister company Ant Financial, they had their IPO delayed a few months ago because Ant Financial was going to be worth about $350 billion US dollars. That's about triple the size of Citibank, and they went into too many services. Think of Ant Financial as Amazon, Citigroup, AIG, and Fidelity all wrapped up into one company, and they started taking a lot of risky loans and a lot of risky fintech ventures that truly created a systemic financial risk to the China's economy. So China's government had to crack down and ensure that Ant Financial wasn't doing anything that could cause the Chinese economy to implode. When you're in China, no matter how rich you are, no matter how powerful, no matter how beloved you are like Jack Ma, you always have to pay respect to the Chinese Communist Party. And Jack Ma, in a very public setting, criticized the regulators of the financial services sector and basically called them old fogies who were stodgy and didn't understand the new revolution of fintech. And I think because of that, the Chinese regulators lost face and they really had to crack down on Ant Financial to ensure that other companies would continue to pay their respects.
This morning, we're seeing a sell-off in Chinese technology shares. There's a broader concern that the scrutiny could extend to some of the other big players. Do you share those concerns?
We have been recommending to our hedge fund clients to get out of China's tech sector for the last couple months. The risks are quite high that China's regulators are going to clamp down not just on Ant Financial, but also on Tencent, Pinduoduo, JD, and the other tech giants, because they have control so much of China's economy that they're stifling innovation, they're stifling competition, and they're really hurting consumer privacy and consumer choice opportunities. In the United States, for instance, Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri has been trying to break up Amazon, Apple, Google. If you think that there's a privacy issue in the United States, that's nothing compared to what it is in China, where five giants really control 90% of day-to-day actions.
Given that technology companies are such huge drivers of growth, of jobs, could we see similar such antitrust or aggressive moves by regulatory bodies, by governments, or is this something we could see only really done with such aggressiveness in China?
The United States and Europe are going to also crack down on the power of these technology companies. The issue is not just a China one. There, especially during COVID, the tech companies have gotten too powerful. They've made too much money. They're taking too much market share. I mean, when you look at it, Google or Alibaba literally know everything that consumers are doing. They know what we buy. They know where we buy, how we buy, what time we buy. And so if you're worried about the CIA or the Chinese version of the CIA overseeing everything that individuals do, it's much, much more dangerous when all of that data is in the hands of private tech companies. I'm one of the few people that I know who still carry cash in my pocket because I don't want Jack Ma to know what I'm doing every single second of the day.
That's quite a big thing given how cashless China has become. Sean Rain, the founder and managing director of China Market Research Group, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Speaking of technology, Japan reportedly plans to launch the world's first space satellite made of wood. Japanese logging companies Sumitomo Forestry and Kyoto University are jointly working on the eco-friendly project. They hope to launch it in 2023 and aim to reduce the increasing amount of man-made junk in outer space. In London, I'm Lisha Santarelli with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.